The show is brought to you by Organifi. Organifi Green Juice promises to deliver all the healthy superfoods you need in just one drink. It's a green powder that promises to deliver endless energy, mental clarity, and fewer sugar cravings. As a loyal listener of this show, you'll receive 15% off your order. My personal favorite is their Sunrise to Sunset bundle, as it includes three of the best sellers. Use my promo code WRESTLING15 to get 15% off your order today. That's OrganifiShop.com. Organifi spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. Organifi, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. So go to OrganifiShop.com and order yours today.
Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 at 1340 AM. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. With me is the wizard himself, Nephew Corey. And we got a returning member tonight, none other than Champ Creed himself. What's going on, Champ?
Yo, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. What's up, wizard?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. A lot going on in the world of professional wrestling. Let's get this thing started. If you missed SummerSlam from this past Sunday night, we saw a couple of titles change hands. We saw the Raw women's title change hands. Ronda Rousey is your new champion by now, if you do not know. Roman Reigns is your Universal Champion on the Raw brand in the WWE. And, you know, I want to get there. We had a lot of discussion in our group chat earlier. Let's start with the Ronda Rousey thing. Is this a good move? A lot of people don't like it. Some people do like it. Is this a good move for Ronda Rousey to be the women's champion right now?
Repeat that question again.
Is it a good move by WWE to put the title on Ronda Rousey right now?
You want to go first, Champ?
Sure. Why not, man? Well, considering that Evolution is around the corner, the all-women's pay-per-view, I really think that, you know, what Ronda does is she gives you highlight material for all the sports networks, from ESPN to Fox Sports to the international sports media outlets, because of her accomplishments, you know, in the UFC and being a female sports icon leading up to where she is now. So for business purposes, I think it's a great idea. In terms of her being able to, you know, bring credibility to the belt, I think it's an excellent idea. And her in-ring work is actually improving by leaps and bounds every week or every time she goes out. My only concern is, once you have this pay-per-view that showcased the women with her as the headliner, of course, who are you going to put her with? That's what I don't know at this point. And I figure, Wiz, you'll be able to give us some insight on that.
I agree with everything you've said. People forget. I mean, I understand people are fans, and being a fan, that's the point of you tuning in. People always forget that it's a business also. And Ronda Rousey being champion is good for business right now. Like you said, going into the first ever women's pay-per-view. You need a not that anybody's not credible, but you really want a main event name on that, and it's Ronda Rousey. It absolutely is. Where they go after that is depending on where they go at the Evolution pay per view, because if they put Ronda in, and the rumors are that she's gonna fight Nikki Bella, that's the one.
Okay.
If Nikki's not returning full time, then that's when it's pretty much like, okay, where are we going with Ronda now? That's where that question that you just asked, that's where that comes up. If she goes in there with a part-timer, that's where it goes. If she goes in there with somebody that's on the active roster, there's a continuation of the storyline. Where I think it goes, honestly, with Ronda is after she, because if she fights Nikki Bella, I think Ronda goes over. Where they go from there, by then there could possibly be a call-up by then. There could possibly be somebody, you know, debuting. There's options for Ronda. There is, because everybody she fights is going to be fresh, because she's new herself. You don't want to go right back to Alexa, because I just think, Alexa's going to get her rematch between now and Evolution, and she'll lose.
Mm-hmm.
You could go Nia again, but that's if they do anything with her, because Nia hasn't even been seen on TV in the last month. You could go Natalya, but you'd have to pretty much run that to where Natalya turns heel, and with the unfortunate situation of her father.
I don't see that.
I don't think they're going to go that route. Bingo. Obviously you don't plan for, somebody passing, but I think had her father not passed, I think that's exactly where we were going. I think Natalya was the one turning. I mean, not to say that's off the cards, because we don't know with them, but I think it'd be really hard at this point. I think that's the worst kind of, worst kind of reaction to turn people against, is the sympathy reaction, because fans are definitely sympathizing with her right now. So, and yeah. It's not like her father was just unknown. Like, he was definitely a known superstar. So, especially with his exposure, again, on Total Divas, people know who he is, so they're sympathizing with her. So it's going to be hard to turn.
Yeah.
So we'll see where they go with that. Go ahead, G.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. I think her opponent is definitely needed at Evolution, whether it's Nikki Bella or somebody else. I'll be interested to see how Nikki Bella and her dance with each other in the ring, how that would go over in the ring. I know people don't like Nikki Bella's work. I think she will keep Ronda safe. I've heard a lot of groans about, oh, why was it a squash match against Alexa Bliss? But she had to keep strong. They're making her, and I hate to want to use, hate
she's
to say
Ronda
it.
Rousey. Why
right.
does that need an explanation?
I'm just reporting the information.
I know. It's not you. I'm just saying it to people asking that. It's like,
well, you know what? Here's the thing, though. I heard that criticism as well. And what I think, in terms of her squashing Alexa, and then her handily beating Nia, it's like, okay, so who are you going to run out at her after she just defeated handily, the top two contenders? Like, where are you going to go to have her fight someone that's convincing the grand belief?
They're building it up. You still have building it up. And you still have Bayley on the roster.
Yeah, so,
where her problems will come up.
Right. Then you got Shayna Baszler who could get called up. You got issues. Mm-hmm. You got an Ember Moon who's not shabby.
Absolutely.
And let's not forget, we got Asuka who could very easily switch back to Raw. So there are people out there who could tip Ronda, who could trip Ronda up. But people forget, this is how Brock was built. When he came in, he threw John Cena around. When they first had their match, it's like that. That's where she's at right now. And I think what happened Monday night on Raw, this past Monday night with the Stephanie McMahon segment, helped her credibility in the wrestling world and with the girls in the locker room. I think that segment was just there to help her and to get her away from Brock Lesnar. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the theme on Monday night was, I'm not like Brock, and I will be here every week. Roman said it. Ronda said it. So,
well, Ronda's not going to be there every week, so that's the thing.
She'll be there a lot more than he is.
She ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah, nothing else to do. So I think the sky's the limit for her. I think she does get a little bit better in the ring. I love the personality that she showed in the match against Alexa Bliss. She showed more personality, more charisma, and that helped her a lot with the fans. And so she had more charisma and personality on Monday night. Anytime that you can beat up Stephanie McMahon or be one of the authority figures, people are going to love that and cheer that. So let's go move on to the next point. The next point is, Keith, I know you got a lot to say on this. Roman Reigns promo on Monday Night Raw. A lot of people liked it, hated it. Some say it was too scripted. You had a viewpoint on how Roman should have cut his promo on Monday night. He got cheered on Sunday night because he won the title. You was there, and I think we talked about it briefly. Was the cheers of Roman because he beat Brock, or people genuinely like Roman Reigns?
Well, go ahead, Champ Creed. Question was presented.
Oh yeah, you
first.
Were there too, Keith. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I mean, okay. Here's what I like. I got to go to SummerSlam and then before we get to Raw. Now, with the outcome of Roman Reigns winning the title, I mean, he had to because he had a lot of cracks at it, you know. So they gave it to him, fine. And I'm even a bit more, I'd say, appreciative of the way that they came up with getting him the belt. You know, when when Brock launched the Money in the Bank briefcase to the top of the Titantron, I was dying because I'm like, okay, so even if Braun was able to run his big old self up there to get it, he wouldn't make it back to the ring in time, you know, to even cash in. So I thought that's where they were going to go with it. But, you know, even still, it was a good look. The way that they pulled it off was excellent. And his speech on Monday, his promo, I mean, look, I would hope that they could take more creative chances with Roman, you know, but the thing is, it's like, look, I get it. Those Roman Reigns vests that he sell, those are more expensive than t-shirts, you know, and I saw a lot more people wearing those at SummerSlam, and every pay-per-view that I go to, every event that I go to, I see more and more people with Roman Reigns merchandise. So I get why he's the champ. Me personally, I would have rather had him as a heel champion, but that's just my personal thought. But I don't have a problem with his I don't have a problem with his speech. I don't have a problem with him winning, and I appreciate the way that he actually did win.
All right, Wizard, do you have anything with Roman's his promo on Monday night and the fact that Roman Reigns is your Universal Champion and that Braun did not successfully cash in on Sunday, nor did he cash in on Monday? And we'll get to that after this.
Yeah, I mean, like Champ said, at this point, you were either going to, and this is interesting, I guess we forgot one little nugget, and we don't know if it really happened or not, but there was a rumor, actually it was pretty widespread reported, that Brock was supposed to have a meeting with WWE officials the afternoon of SummerSlam.
Right.
I don't know what was going on with that meeting. I don't know what was discussed with it, but just throwing it out there. What if it was the meeting that determined pretty much whether Brock was going to be champion? Because
I think it was a meeting to determine what was his plans, UFC future endeavor, his future endeavors in the UFC, how much he has to, you know, what information that has USADA given him, the timetable that he can actually come back. If you watched it, Brock from last Monday in on SummerSlam, we noticed the weight loss from Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of space. You can say what you want to say about what the weight loss. I'm not even going there with that one. But, so that meeting was just to probably, and I'm sure he probably had too much contact with WWE officials to give them a lay of the land. Okay, I'm going to do a one-fight deal against Cormier. If it happens and I win, I might come back. If we don't. And from what I read and what I heard, that it was a good meeting, Brock left on good terms, and the door is open for him to return whenever he finishes his UFC deal.
He'll be back. I don't even doubt that at all. He'll be back. And honestly, to me, I think had he, you know, if the meeting went that way, I think had he provided more of a commitment to show, even if it had been the same schedule he was already on, I don't think Roman wins. I think Brock Lesnar, to me, maybe it's just the business side of me just seeing dollars of Brock Lesnar going in as Universal Champion into UFC. That's just me.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you know, it is what it is now. Roman has won. I thought his promo, even though it was, you know, obviously came off scripted, I thought it delivered the point. At this point, people, even if it is Roman, the general consensus among the fan base is that, okay, the Universal Championship is regularly going to be on Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much, and I get it with people. Personally, me, I did not dislike Brock Lesnar's run because I looked at him. He was the big draw. He was the big deal. Okay, it felt like there was a true sense of it being you only saw the champion when it was important. So, That was my take of it. But not everybody sees it the same way, so it's cool.
Yeah, and that was my take too. You saw the big draw. It helped. If people sit back and look at it, it helped establish other stars on that brand with not being Brock Lesnar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It helped establish other wrestlers to get to the point where they're at. Helped Kevin Owens get to where he's at. Helped Braun Strowman grow. Helped
it
Seth
made
Rollins.
Them use a main event with other people.
Yes, you
had Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler, you had Drew McIntyre. You had all these people in the main event scene without having to fight for the world championship. And it forced them to make new stars because now there's a whole bunch of credible guys that you could see in the main event picture. You can do like they did on Monday, Roman and Finn. You can do Roman and Drew McIntyre. You can do a Roman and Braun Strowman now. You can do all of these matches now because you already have had these people in the main event in some form or another while Brock was champion.
Yeah.
You can do this now.
Yeah, it helped establish who they are. So there's no problem, no issue with Roman Reigns being a champion. But we also had another title change hands, but it was not on Monday Night Raw, but it was on SmackDown. And we had 5-time tag team champion, The New Day. The New Day are your 5-time tag team champions. Coming out of report today that Eric Rowan tore his bicep. Won't see him for a while. Just coming out, reports coming out today about that. I don't know if that's why they dropped the title or not, but nonetheless, New Day are 5-time tag team champion. I sent you guys a question earlier, and I want your thoughts and opinions. Is New Day already a Hall of Fame faction? Before I even saw the interview with Big E, when he coming out talking about 5-time, y'all say we wouldn't do it, say we wouldn't be here. You laughed at us, thought we should be fired 4 years ago, and now look at us. I enjoyed with 5-time champions. And Wizard, you already said yes, they're Hall of Famers?
Oh, yeah, by far. I mean, they've already established. Now, they're not going in separately. They're going to go in as the New Day. But
yeah.
Nonetheless, they are absolutely bona fide Hall of Famers now. The 434-day championship run solidified them. They were already solidified at that point. Anything else was extra. That run, that pretty much, that year and year and some days, run of them. Because you got to figure they were already a big act by the time they won it in 2015. But that whole for them to stay on top and stay consistent throughout that whole run, that was a testament to them. So they were already the Hall of Famers by the time that run ended. Anything else after that is just icing on the cake.
Yeah. And I got to take it back to when they first came out, we were like, what in the world are they thinking?
Yeah.
I remember that. I think our response was similar to when Brodus Clay came out.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
That's what we were thinking. We were like, oh, dang, they did it again.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what we thought. We thought that. We were like, they did it again. And it was so weird.
Yeah.
I think because they built that stigma and that notion that we were getting, granted, it may have been fan-induced, but it just felt like we were getting the Nation of Domination 2.0. That's what we thought we were getting.
That's what we thought we were getting. And they flipped it, and we were shocked. And then, I give credit to Xavier because I think he went to Vince, and he had Vince's ear. A lot of guys don't have that opportunity, but he had Vince's ear. And he convinced Vince to let them do the thing the way that they wanted to do it, and it paid off.
Yeah,
really paid off.
He pretty much, I think if I'm not
mistaken. They put their careers on the line. They bet on themselves.
Yeah, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it was. It was a sink or swim situation for them, literally, that they were gone. Mm-hmm. If they didn't succeed, they were gone.
And it got over. And, I mean, look how well it got over. I mean, from the preview.
It got over on the strength of them persevering because it was not getting over. I give them all the credit in the world. I do. But some of it was them literally weathering the storm because it was points where they were trying and nothing was working and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And the fans the fans rebelling on it was really genuine. They were really like, okay, we don't like this at all. And I think that's when they got to the point where, not that they were desperate, because desperate sounds bad, but it's like, okay, they were at the point we had, they were literally nothing to lose. They just got to do whatever. They're either going to get fired or they're not. I think that's where they pretty much were.
Yeah, and they flipped it and they turned it. You know, they became who they were. Xavier became the nerd. He became the funny powerhouse, which he really is. And Kofi became the worker. You know, and they flipped their personality. They put their personalities into the gimmick. You know, when you first saw them with the choir and you think of Kurt Franklin, you're like, man, it's gonna never work. You know, but mm-hmm. when their wit and their skill and their ability put into it, the fans started to embrace it. And it also helped with the social media and the YouTube stuff that was going on. I'm thinking a little bit about Zach.
Yeah.
About Zach Ryder. When Zach Ryder did it years ago with the Internet Championship. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. you got to go outside, and we say it all the time here. You go outside of the wrestling ring and in the wrestling show, you can get more audience in today's time to bring them in through social media to interact to who you are. I mean, look at it. He's mm-hmm. doing E3 conventions and video games conventions and cosplay and doing things. New, they are everywhere. They're not just in the WWE ring. And I think that's one of the things that continue to keep them on top and will keep them being Hall of Famers. Be interested to see where it goes from here, but it goes back to what you guys said about Roman Reigns. Now the New Day can have matches with everybody on the card in the roster.
Well, also, too, I think that 3 or 4 year difference, or really like 4 year difference between what Zack Ryder was doing and what Xavier Woods was doing with Up, Up, Down, Down, I think that 4 years is like a million years in terms of technology.
And oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Media, software upgrades and everything.
Yeah. WWE didn't, and it sucks for Zack Ryder, but WWE didn't know
what
they
had.
He, like, literally, if there's ever a time the cliche ahead of its time applied, it's with Zack Ryder. And that sucks for him because WWE, they didn't know what they had. At this point, they just saw a guy getting over on his own and they wanted control of it. By the time they got around to Xavier Woods, they knew the error of their ways, and they more so worked with Xavier because they're like, listen, we don't know nothing about video games. We want the rights, you know, we want our name on it because, you know, you're using, you know, some of our talent. We want a little piece in it, but we're going to let you do your thing because you know about this, so you know where to market it. You know, so at that point, you know, Xavier Woods is like, okay, boom, boom, boom. Because if you notice, Xavier Woods is not Xavier Woods on the channel. He's Austin Creed. So WWE, you know, they may have their piece in it. They may sell some T-shirts for him. They may market him, give him the money to go certain places, have certain people on there. But in the essence, it's still his show. And I think that's where WWE learned, instead of just taking Long Island IV from Zack Ryder, pretty much, and then just, okay, it's WWE now. Like, you, because I guess Zack Ryder's not a mistake, but because he was going as Zack Ryder on there, that's their character. So they have the right to have that. So, I mean, at this point, they learned now, you know, Up, Up, Down, Down's a real, real thing. I mean, he's gone to E3. And has, you know, competed against, you know, promotional rivals and, you know, in Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and all. Like, WWE would never have cross-branded like that even 5 years ago. You know, now WWE is smart. Now they're like, listen, okay, we're not directly throwing these guys on our programming in wrestling matches, but they're becoming available soon, so we can feature them a little more.
What they also understand that the wrestling fan is not dumb anymore. The wrestling fan is intelligent, and we watch more than just WWE. People watch New Japan. You watch. That's why you got guys,
I agree, but that's to an extent, because the majority of fans are still WWE.
They are, but they are WWE. But a lot of us are smart wrestling fans know who Ricochet is. That's why you see a lot of guys now who are coming into the company without changing their name. They're not, WWE is not marketing them or changing anything about them. You got a Ricochet who comes in now with his name. Leo Rush doesn't change his name. So you have a lot of guys who have been indie established guys who are coming into the company now and are not switching who they are.
Well, they're also putting them through NXT as well. Because if you're coming up through NXT, for the most part, they're not changing your name unless you just were unknown as your previous name. If you're established, because remember, Gunner's in NXT now, but he's not even going by that. You know?
Right.
So there's a few names out there that, you know, they're like, okay, they're not doing that.
Yes.
But you're not going to change Eric Young or Samoa Joe or Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Or even EC3. They didn't even change him. You know?
No. That's what I'm saying, because these guys were they're establishing themselves on the indies and goes to this marketing genius of the WWE. Let's not insult our wrestling fan. They know who they are.
Yeah, well, that's Triple H. I'm sorry. I'll just give him all of the credit. That's him. That ain't nobody else to him.
And that's the one thing I take my hat off to. We talk about 4 or 5 years ago about that. If you really look at it, 4 or 5 years ago when Zack Ryder was doing his YouTube channel, I believe for part of that, WWE didn't even have a YouTube channel.
No.
Oh, yeah, nope. Sure didn't.
Sure didn't.
And the one time I'm going to give the one, of course, I'll give them props all the time. But this is one of those one times I'm really going to give Champ Creed his due on one of the things that he says. When Rock put over Zack Ryder in the Garden after Survivor Series, for them not to take advantage of that more than what they did, that was a mistake.
I don't even remember saying that.
No, you didn't say that, but I'm just, you know, I'm promoting one of your idealistic views of them not listening to the fans or even listening to one of their top guys.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
I went to that Survivor Series in the Garden, and first of all, it baffles me that he wasn't even fighting Ziggler that night in the first place. They put John Morrison in there. And I remember John Morrison coming out, and he's booed from the get-go. And, I mean, he's a super over-face at this point. He's one of the top mid-card, lower main event guys on the card at this point.
Yeah.
And they're booing him out of the building. Like, it's We Want Ryder throughout the whole match. And Ryder comes in for the run-in, and that was the loudest pop of the night.
Yeah.
Other than Rock.
And that's the thing, man. Like I said, they don't know how to pivot. They don't know how to change direction based on whatever it is that the fans, you know, offer up. And they can get away with it now because there aren't any, you know, foreseeable threats that can come and capitalize off of them dropping the ball, you know. But it's like, come on, you know, like we're going to get to the Becky Lynch thing, and then that's where I'll further that theory. But thank you for bringing that up, because that's a key point, because you got a guy like Zack Ryder. There's no telling what, you know, he could have turned into had you
like,
been
honestly,
able to,
champ,
you know, make something happen.
Had he won the belt, had he won the United States title in the Garden that night, who knows where he'd be at. You talk about one night changing somebody's career. They waited a month too late, and they did it in the wrong place. They waited until December, and they did it in Baltimore. It was already done at that point. The hype was actually, for real, the hype died that night in Madison Square Garden when he wasn't even booked.
I remember that, and I brought it up and was like, yo, why is he not on the card? Like, why is he not here? Like,
right.
I remember that now. I remember. Okay.
Yo, like, for him not to be booked on that pay-per-view, and all you had him do was a crummy run-in, like, the hype died. Because at that point, to the fan, it showed that they weren't invested in him at that point.
Yeah, They don't. It's like, if you're not going to invest in what we believe, then we won't just believe anything. We'll just let it die. And I feel that's the same thing they're doing with Becky. But I'll let you go because we're going to talk about that.
I'll finish it off just saying, had they done that, the way they did that night, basically, it showed that, okay, they recognized it and they said, okay, oh, crap, we got to go ahead and put the title on them. Even though that probably was their plans all along to put it on them eventually, the fact they didn't do it that night, that was the night to do it, and that was the night his push died. But go ahead, G.
That night was the night also his push died, but also the night that he couldn't change a tire on live television also killed his push. And the fact that when a man takes your girl and you don't fight him but you fight the other guy, that killed his push too because the storyline didn't help him any.
Yeah, he ended up looking like a dope in that storyline. It was bad.
He ended up looking like a dope in that storyline, and once again, the fans were not invested. But let's move on to the other part of SmackDown, which Champ Creed alluded to. We got Becky Lynch did not win the SmackDown women's title, but she did have a heel turn on this past Sunday, SummerSlam, on Charlotte Flair. People went to social media. You and other people went to social media saying they don't like this. We got behind Becky Lynch all this time. We've been struggling for it. We've been pushing for it, and you turn us and you give us a heel Becky Lynch instead of giving us a I'm going to say Daniel Bryan type Becky Lynch, because Becky Lynch's run was like Daniel Bryan's run prior to WrestleMania 30, where he lost, he fought, he clawed all odds against him to get to the point where he could become the champion. Now Becky Lynch has to fight somebody else or claw again to get where she at. Champ, I know you talked about her promo on Monday night, once again, scripted. I'm just believing that, you know, we look at the day and age where we grew up in or where we really fell in love with professional wrestling. I go back to the even the 80s and I even go into the 90s into the Attitude Era. A lot of the promos we looked at when promos that weren't scripted, Dusty Rhodes' Hard Times promo wasn't scripted. Ric Flair stuff wasn't scripted. If you go to some of Hulk Hogan's promos, wasn't scripted. If you go into the 90s with The Rock and go Stone Cold, a lot of those were just bullet points, and these guys were able to flow and maneuver. Becky Lynch get a scripted promo on Tuesday Night SmackDown, and social media as well as you guys did not like it. So, Champ, start there. What did you not like about Becky Lynch's promo and what she could have did?
Okay, so here's the thing. I want to backtrack to – actually, I'll talk about the promo, then I'll backtrack. All right, that promo, you can tell she was given a script. You can tell that the script was predicated on their assumption of how she would have been perceived according to their plan, right? Their plan was to have her do what she did after the match. They thought that the fans would find it not very favorable. And when she would come in, their plan was to have the audience boo her based off the actions that they booked for her to carry out at SummerSlam. However, it was the reverse. It was the total opposite. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, and I don't want people who listen to the show that might tweet this to say, oh, you're comparing her to who you're about to say, whatever, right? Now, I remember, I believe it was SummerSlam 98, when The Rock and Triple H were having their ladder match. Sure. And the lead up to that match, Rock was with The Nation, he was the heel. Triple H was with DX, he was the face. They had Rock do all of the heelish antics and everything was going on. And I remember this clear as day, right? There was a point in the match where it was going back and forth. The action wasn't great, but it was good. And you could kind of tell that, like, from the Raw before and the SmackDown before and everything else before, they were booking Rock as the heel, you know, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
He does something. He body slams Triple H on the ladder, right? And then he looks at Triple H, and he begins to move his upper torso slowly, like to look at the crowd, like slowly, very theatrical with it. And as he's moving up, the entire crowd stops booing and begins to cheer as he's getting ready to do the people's elbow, right? It was in unison, mm-hmm. the way he was moving up and the way that the crowd was changing. Mind you, this is the Madison Square Garden crowd that said, Rocky, die. Same crowd, right? New moment. When Becky beat up Charlotte at the end of that match, the fans were cheering and you know, because they felt that, you know, Charlotte kind of like stepped on her moment, which a lot of people feel, whatever. That was the turning point. But the other component of that was the way that she walked off and out of the ring. Like, she dusted her hands off, handled her business, gave this person what they deserve. And as she walked up the ramp, the crowd got louder. Who would have thought that the loudest chant at SummerSlam would have been Becky, Becky, Becky? You can't plan that. Like, those are those rare moments that happen where you can take that rare moment and create you a star. You can create a star because it's organic. All you got to do is let them follow through. And I feel that they did a disservice by not jumping on that opportunity for her. I mean, we can still see what happens next Tuesday, but what I saw and what I heard, I was very, very disappointed, because I think that she could be a very, man, listen, they got something in the bottle with her. And to be honest with you, I've never liked her. I've never liked her. I always thought she was corny until SummerSlam 2018.
Okay, I'm going to play the other side of that. All right.
Yeah, let's go.
So he obviously thought she was corny. So The heelish antics made him like her. That's why I think you should keep going with the heelish antics and let her be a heel.
Wait, I got to stop you there. It's not so much the heelish antics. It's what Charlotte stands for and what Charlotte represents that has subconsciously seeped into this particular crowd. Charlotte is great at what she does. She's a great performer. People may feel that because she's second generation and who her dad is, she may get certain favors and considerations that other female athletes not. And even if that's not the case, deep down, people feel that way just because we know how nepotism works in our corporate lives and in different aspects of our life, whatever, right? And then the fact that she came back from being away so long and automatically gets thrust into the title picture. It's like, okay, on top of Becky calling herself the underdog Becky Balboa, who Rocky Balboa is like the greatest cinematic underdog of all time next to Rudy and one more for the Gipper. You know what I'm saying? So you painted this underdog same way you painted Daniel Bryan as the underdog. And then you take the moment away from her, right? To which I really don't think they anticipated the crowd doing what they did. So now, all right, I just have to say that. Not so much Becky doing the heelish thing. It's her doing what was right in the moment for someone that had their moment taken away from them. Sorry.
So you know what? I'll take it back to 2 years ago when Seth Rollins returned in New Jersey and attacked Roman Reigns after Roman Reigns defeated AJ Styles. The fans cheered like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they still went with Seth being a heel until it was time to turn him face for real. So it's not the first time we've seen this happen. We don't know where it's going. However, personally, seeing Becky as a face pretty much since she's come up, I feel as though her face run plateaued when she won the SmackDown Women's Championship 2 years ago. And when she lost it, she was pretty much in a funk for the next 2 years. Like, it was or a year and a half or so. But when she lost it, that was it. I had no interest in Becky Lynch. Not because I didn't like, but there was just no interest in Becky Lynch until Sunday. When
because
they turned her heel, that's when I was like, okay, now I'm invested in Becky Lynch again to see where they go. I just feel as though had they turned her, had they tried to, you know, call an audible and let her be face, I just feel like she'd have fell flat because I think she would have lost. Well, I'm pretty much 100% sure she would have lost to Charlotte again. And then what? Like, my thing is the logic of her losing the match, attacking Charlotte, making her the face instead of Charlotte, and then beating Charlotte was like, okay, so she used heelish antics to get the one up on somebody and she won. So cheating is okay. Or jumping somebody from behind is okay. That's the way I would have looked at it, you know, seeing Becky jump Charlotte, then still getting the upper hand on her and winning the belt. Now that Becky's the heel, now Becky can, you know, win the belt over Charlotte and use the upper hand. And it's like, okay, dag, she had to stab her best friend in the back to get the belt. it's just for me, the logic would have been lost had they still made Charlotte the heel. Because Charlotte, like I said, the other factor that I mentioned to you earlier is that Charlotte never asked for the opportunity. Speaking from a storyline standpoint, Charlotte never asked for the opportunity. Paige presented it to her. And I know, you know, the rebuttal is that, you know, she took advantage of the opportunity, but at the same time, you know, her being a good guy, storyline-wise, in a kayfabe world, being a good guy, she can't turn that down.
No.
She can't. So I get it. I get that had she been Becky's friend, she should have stepped aside and let Becky have 1-on-1. I get that. But WWE logic is she's the face still. They gave her a chance. She fought her way into an opportunity. Becky got jealous. Instead of Becky rising to the occasion and winning, she beat up her best friend after she lost.
No, so, hold on, Chef. I'm gonna jump in real quick. I gotta go back to your argument about Roman Reigns earlier.
About Roman Reigns?
But you're looking in the arena and you saw everybody wearing his best. You see everybody invested in Roman Reigns and wearing his best.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, you gotta flip it this way. Same thing with Charlotte Flair on the women's side. You're looking at an arena, young girls, grown men are wearing a shirt. She's in ESPN Body Magazine. She's on the ESPYs Award. Yeah. She's all over the place. She is.
Did you see anybody cosplaying as Becky Lynch on Sunday?
No, I saw quite a few of them. Okay, I agree with that, but here's what I'm saying, right? You don't have to. Okay, so what happened is within the framework of the story, you got your face, you got your heel, sometimes you got your in-betweens, and then sometimes you just have that badass character that emerges from out the blue. And here's what I'm saying. Okay, so she did the thing. She beat her friend up. She walked out. The crowd cheered it, right? You don't have to give her this speech to where she's saying, you know, and none of you ever supported me or anything like that. No, you don't have to do that.
I agree with that part.
See where it goes. Let her just say, keep it simple. Let her just say, Charlotte, get your arse down here, whatever, and then let them go at it. And let the fans decide, because on the tail end of this feud, right, coming out of this, if you let her be a certain way, you don't know what you might get. Don't have her play against the crowd. Just have her keep doing her heelish antics. And if the fans like it, they like it.
But they've let her be that way as far as seeing what the fans, how the fans, they've let her do that for the past 3 years. And it grew stale.
But it clicked Sunday.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
But it took heelish antics, and you know, like I said earlier, I'm gonna throw this wrench in there. I'm sorry, it's New York. It's a smart town. These smart towns are gonna cheer that. They're going to cheer that. You know that. They're gonna cheer this stuff. And if these smart towns go against what WWE is planning, this is where I'm kind of agreeing with you. They're not going to change us, because, like I said, when they're in, who knows where they're at next week. When they're there, those people are going to boo Becky Lynch. They're going to boo her. They are.
Let me ask you this question.
What was yesterday, the 22nd? Okay, yeah. I'm just seeing where SmackDown is.
Just say it was the 21st.
Okay. Okay.
While you look that up, Corey, let me ask you this question, Glenn. You can probably touch upon it. So when Brett was fighting Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? Brett was booked as the baby and Stone Cold was booked as the heel, right?
Right.
Then something happened at that WrestleMania when Stone Cold was bleeding and didn't pass out, right?
Correct.
It was a turn. And they were that was a Madison Square Garden too,
but
right?
That was in Chicago, another smart town.
That was in Chicago, another smart town.
And that was planned. That was planned.
Okay. All right. So that was planned. So
yeah.
Stone Cold's speech the next night wasn't, I'm gonna, you know, talk about the fans or attack the fans or antagonize the fans. Okay. But my thing is, in a smart town, when these things happen, just because it's a smart town, that don't mean that it's not gonna happen anywhere else.
Well, I'll put
you gotta feed it. You gotta keep feeding it.
SmackDown's in Toronto next week, they're going to boo Becky Lynch. They are. They are. I don't care about Canada being Bizarro World or anything like that. That crowd's going to boo Becky Lynch.
But, you know, you got to look at this, too. I think, we got to look at the fact that Becky Lynch had an opportunity. WWE had an opportunity. I agree with Keith on this point. WWE had an opportunity to establish the heel Becky Lynch. You partially established it Sunday night. You had Tuesday night could have been a night where you could solidify the fact that she is heel. She didn't have to say much, you know. Hey, she could have used the fact that she did a little bit, that you're privileged, that you're on ESPN magazine. She ain't got to whine about it. Well, don't worry about it. You cheated me out of my opportunity to become the WWE, the women's champion. Now it's my turn. And every time I see you, I'm going to punch you in your face. Whatever case may be.
But I think she did have to say something because of where they're at. I think for the fans watching at home, she had to say something because the way it would have came off on TV, much like you all were alluding to, it was going to be confusing to where the fans were like, she beat up Becky, but she beat up Charlotte, but everybody's okay with it. That's where it would see. We have to, because we're so smart, we're overlooking the simplification of the fans that are watching at home. Everybody, you know, not even putting us on the pedestal, but everybody ain't as smart as us. So we're thinking logically. We're like, duh, the fans are cheering this, which I agree. Why aren't they capitalizing on everybody cheering it? But everybody ain't smart. We make up, like I've said a million times before, we make up 7, maybe 10% of the fans that watch. The average fan at home is like, oh, why would Becky do that to her friend? And it's just that simple. That's why she's the heel. You got it. We got to down. In some of these situations, we really have to dumb it down the way we're thinking of what's going on.
But what I'm saying is, even if you dumb it down, you don't have to have her antagonize the crowd. Just have her angst focused at Charlotte.
Yeah, like, that's because that looks cool and makes sense to us. You gotta say, some people won't get it. Some people just don't get it. We get it.
They want her. This is their mindset. They want her to antagonize the crowd because of what happened Sunday. Sunday, she got cheers on Sunday. So someone had the idea was, man, she got cheers on Sunday. So you need to go out and say this so they can boo you on Tuesday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
what it boils down to.
Yep, they're playing for the next couple of weeks and months going into Becky being a full-fledged heel. They're playing into that. They got to plant those seeds now. And they got to have her go out there and talk about how you fans got up and you cheered Charlotte, even though that wasn't what happened, really. Let me correct that. No, that kind of is what happened. They did cheer Charlotte when Charlotte won. There were smatters of boos here and there. But realistically, people were booing because they were waiting for the obvious heel turn. And fans cheer the heel turn. That's why I think there may be some confusion too. Fans weren't really fans were cheering Becky, but not really everybody was on the Becky bandwagon to be like, oh, I really want Becky to win. Nah, it was like, okay, I want Becky to turn heel. Nobody cared that Becky won the belt or not, realistically. Nobody cared that she didn't win the belt. They just wanted to see her turn heel because they wanted something fresh for her. Fans were more so on the mindset of, we want something for Becky. But Becky doesn't have to necessarily win the belt. It wasn't a thing of her winning. It was never about really her winning the belt. Because if that was the case, they would have done it one-on-one.
Yeah.
And would have held Charlotte off until after SummerSlam.
This is what I give you guys. This is to further this, and you probably agree with me on this. To further the storyline, there need to be stuff outside the arena. They need to be vignettes. Becky need to go. Meet her somewhere. If you want to further this and make it a bigger heel turn, that's one of the reasons why, and I think this is why WWE turned Becky heel and didn't turn Bayley or Sasha Banks, because I think they didn't want both of them to collide with each other. And Becky,
it would have been the same storyline.
Same storyline. And Becky, I think Becky, they had a lot of faith in Becky that she can get it done now, more so than either Sasha or Bayley.
Yeah, the Sasha Bailey ran too long, in the sense of if one of them was going to turn, it should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when they ran too long, they went with Becky, and I think the Becky plan has been there for a while. I think they've been wanting to turn her heel, but they were waiting for the right time, and they just didn't have the right moment until now. Because you got to figure, you're not going to turn her going into WrestleMania season. You're not going to start something fresh then. You're not really going to turn her heel going into SummerSlam because Charlotte was hurt. So they had, so by circumstance, they had to leave Becky face because they had nobody else, realistically. And that sucks for like somebody like a Naomi or somebody, because at this point, Naomi's in the same boat right now. It's like, what do you do with Naomi's a good hand. She's almost turning into Natalya, in the sense of she's such a good hand, and she's such a good PR person to send somewhere. Naomi, and I love Naomi, I do. But to me, right now, she's a little stale. It's like, she's, and that's love not her fault. But she, and I love her, and I'm not bad-mouthing her. The last thing I'm doing is bad-mouthing the one black girl that's actually decent on the roster right now.
You know,
or one of them. But it's like, at this point, it's like, all right. Like, she's a good, you know what? Sadly, in the loosest of comparison, she's almost the female No Way Jose right now. She's a good, you know, she's a good crowd popper for the theatrics of what she's doing in, you know, the ring, you know, her entrance or whatnot. But after that, she wins a match, but there's no invested storyline there. So it's like, what is she doing?
And she has to compete with those. But let's move on real quick, then we get ready to wrap this thing up. You know, we talk about investment, and we talk about storylines, and we talk about shows, and we talk about people who got over, and we talk about heels and faces. We don't have to worry about who's the heel in the feud between Samoa Joe and AJ Styles.
Oh, that's great. Go ahead.
we don't have to question that one. We know Samoa Joe is definitely the heel in that storyline right there. Give me your thoughts on the match on Sunday night, and where do you think this thing goes? You know, at least where you think this thing goes from here, and does Joe ever get the WWE title? Go ahead and start with you, champ.
The match, they didn't want to, you know, it was SummerSlam, but I felt like they held back a little bit. I felt like they wanted to preserve the, the feud. And
preserve
and
prolong.
Joe is doing his best work. Like,
he's been in WWE, absolutely.
I agree. I am thoroughly impressed. I like where it's going. It's funny. The ring action is good. I like this. I think this might be one of the best feuds of the year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's a testament to both men. It's not just because AJ's in there, and it's not just only because Joe's in it. It's like these dudes already have chemistry. They aren't doing, all they did was kind of put a story to it, but they're letting them do their thing. And one of the cool things about Joe, which is what makes Joe so great in this storyline, is that Joe isn't booked as a stereotypical just jerk guy. I mean, not jerk guy, robot destroyer of everything that doesn't talk much. Joe has a personality. They let him exhibit it. And now it's like, yo, like, Joe's, he's a jerk, but he's pretty cool at it. So, you know,
yeah, he is, man.
It's like now, it's like, okay, you want to cheer AJ because AJ is so ground rooted established as just the baby face of baby faces that you know, you're kind of like, oh man, like, why is he doing this to AJ? But man, this is entertaining that he's doing this to AJ. So it just everything just meshes. Everything meshes, and honestly, I don't know if it's at the Cell pay-per-view or not, or maybe somewhere remotely afterwards. Unless they're really trying to have AJ just go into things as the all-time just headliner of everything. Like, unless they're trying to have AJ break now Brock's record, I think AJ loses to Samoa Joe for the title eventually. I think Samoa Joe does get it. And I think he gets it in one of those weird ways, like a last man standing where he barely makes it up before 10 and he sneakily gets the WWE championship. I don't think they have Joe. I don't think they have Joe choke out. Well, actually, you know what? They may have Joe choke out AJ. They may have it to where AJ loses. The only way that he loses is because he's been incapacitated. And I could see Joe. You know what? It's one of the, as obvious as it is, I could see either Joe choking him out or Joe barely winning or winning on some kind of technicality. But the bottom line is, unless they're having AJ break Brock's record, which is not out of the realm of possibility, because if there's at this point, because I think, and that's something side note to touch on, I think obviously they just did Brock's run just to kind of erase CM Punk out of the record books. But now they're kind of like, okay, AJ pretty much deserves this, and he's over halfway there anyway. So we could kind of do this and nobody's going to complain about it. So they could do that to where AJ, and AJ has enough, he actually has more than enough steam to sustain. He's over 300 days now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
He's close to, actually, he's close to a year, what, coming up in October, right? I think October it'll be in a year. So he's coming up on a year now. You could go another, what, another six, what, 5 months or something like that of days? You could do that. You could do that with it. And that, actually, that'll take you right into WrestleMania. I think you could do it. I really think if you're going to do it with one guy that will sustain the steam, because as I've said before, AJ isn't your typical guy that the New York WWE corporate would market as their champion. But because AJ has the entire Southern belt on lock, which is something that WWE's never been able to fully lock down, because they've never really had a guy other than maybe Cena to really lock that region down. They've got somebody to where those people that live in the South, they're only going to see AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Like, they're only going to see him. You ever notice Raw doesn't really run, the Raw tour doesn't really run the South too much. No. Like, their house shows and Monday Night Raw tapings, they're not really in the South too much. SmackDown is always in the South. Always. Because AJ's going to sell out wherever they go. And anywhere from Virginia on to, you know, probably Texas, in between there and South, they can throw AJ Styles in the car and they're good. Not even a second thought. So they're going to do that. Go ahead, Dorn.
Now, was it me or did anybody else think, like, God, dog, TNA couldn't get this over?
I know.
Yeah.
The crowd was chanting TNA.
Yeah. They definitely were chanting TNA during the match.
Yeah. So cross my mind, but just that you can definitely see the heel and face in this one. So there's no great line there. Another one that you can definitely see the great line is Daniel Bryan and The Miz, which we know we get another match out of. I think we get one more after that. Besides the Bree and Maurice getting involved, I think we get one more with Daniel Bryan and The Miz. To close out that feud. There lies storylines which are done right. If you look at those storylines, they were, and go back to the Becky Lynch, those storylines were built up. It was clear cut. And I think what Keith's issue is, where you have a gray line, and this person is a face, this person's heel. Last week, Becky Lynch was your biggest face, one of the biggest faces on SmackDown. People loved her, and people don't like that heel turn, per se. If we go back to this 1997-ish stuff, and then Becky Lynch, as you mentioned, Keith, you said she was boring. She's not your cool heel like most people. Samoa Joe's a cool heel because of his promos. And if we're really honest with ourselves as wrestling fans, that's what people want to see out of Roman Reigns, but he can't do it because Samoa Joe does it so well.
Yeah.
Well, something you touched on just now, G, that I have a theory about. this whole Daniel Bryan, Miz, you know, Maurice Ribella thing, honestly, I think part of this, they're doing this part, I think they're doing part of this as a favor, per se, maybe, to John Cena and Nikki Bella, and kind of erasing all of that out and doing it all over again with Daniel Bryan and Brie with Miz and Maurice. Because this is the exact same storyline.
It's pretty much the
exact same storyline. But it's like, if there's truth and validity to really John Cena and Nikki Bella breaking up, I really think WWE is doing them a solid and just kind of like, all right, this has so much negative connotations to it now that we're just going to kind of, you know, try to smooth it over and do it with Daniel Bryan and Brie against Miz and Maurice. And honestly, I think they give Miz another bone. I think Miz and Maurice win that match. I don't know how, but I feel like Miz and Maurice will get the upper hand on them again, and then that's when Daniel Bryan wins finally. Something feels like you can't. Something tells you can't have Miz and Maurice lose another mixed tag match.
Nah, yeah. And plus, speaking of Miz and Maurice, the TV show ratings are high, and they got renewed for another season of Miz and Maurice. So they're moving in the right direction. That dude's hard as working. I think you are definitely correct that when this happens, that Miz and Maurice do get the win. Also, those two things get Brie Bella and Maurice in shape for Evolution, because I believe both of those two will be used for that pay-per-view. WWE has to find 50 women from somewhere to put on a card. Why not use what you have and what you have down in NXT as well? Hey, let's get ready to close this thing out, man. Let's start with Champ. He ain't been here a while. Champ, your closing thoughts on this past weekend, WWE, four nights in Brooklyn. And we mentioned we may not see them in Brooklyn again next year. I wouldn't count that out. May be back in Brooklyn, but right now, I'm going to say they're not going to be in Brooklyn right now. Give me your thoughts, your 4 days of SummerSlam, and what are your thoughts on that?
Look, they did a great job. They use every part of the city that they can. I even saw a flash a mural of Ronda Rousey being painted, whatever, down in the Lower East Side. I don't know if you guys saw that, whatever, but they used every part of the city they could. It's always good money for smaller businesses, bigger businesses, independent businesses when they come to town. I give the whole weekend A+. They did a great job marketing, promoting, getting different organizations involved. You can't lose when the WWE comes to your town. But I am so interested in seeing what happens when WrestleMania comes to town, and that Garden show is going to be in the next borough promoting that same Saturday night.
Interesting. First of all, I'm tired. Because I actually, you know, went to all four shows and drove into Brooklyn every day. So you get used to it, even though there's only about a 15-mile difference from where I was coming from to Brooklyn. It's just like, ugh. But no, I every year they maximize on the opportunity of being in that New York metro area. And like Champ said, A+, like they – every opportunity they have to maximize being on something in New York. Everywhere I turned, there was something somewhere about WWE. So they always leave their presence wherever they go when they go there for extended amount of times. As I also said with you guys, this was the best SummerSlam and best takeover they've done in the 4 years that they've been there. I just feel as though the first takeover is always sentimentally good, but pound for pound, this was the best takeover they've had in the 4 years they've been in Brooklyn. This was the best one. All the other ones have one or two good matches to where it's like, okay, like, you know, you had Bayley and Sasha, but really that was it for that pay-per-view.